Yo, it's Alex Terranova, and welcome to Flip the Lens, where Bree Holland, London Papa Michael, and myself smash down the walls of perfection, performance, and looking good to dive face first into deeply vulnerable and personal conversations, where we expose and explore what it means to be authentic and how to succeed in a world desperate for a facade.
What's up, and welcome back to Flip the Lens. I'm your host, one of your hosts, Alex Terranova, and I'm with my other amazing hosts, London Papa Michael and Bree Holland. How are you guys?
Good morning.
Doing well. Good morning, guys.
I told you guys, we should tell everyone listening that you guys don't know what we're going to talk about today. I'm bringing this topic out. It's something that I recently learned about, and it really got me thinking. It got me kind of inspired. It got me to look inward. It got me to look at the world. It's a hot topic. It's like a very powerful topic. It's likely going to jar some people and make some people feel uncomfortable simply because of language and the words we use. And I really want to use this as a way to look at how it impacts our life and also how we can look at language differently. Like often words have this power because of what we think they mean and because of what they've always meant. But when we really break them down, they actually mean something different, which can create a whole new level of understanding our opportunity. So I'm being very like ominous in this. I want to introduce Bree, you in London, to this idea. And I want us to really dive in and look at it, how it impacts our life personally, because I think it impacts everyone. So the idea is from a book or a course called Dismantling Racism, a workbook for social change groups. It was written by a man named Kenneth Jones and Tema Akuna for a company called ChangeWork in 2001. But the thing that stuck out to me is it's called Characteristics of White Supremacy Culture. And when I heard that, I was like, well, I know characteristics of white supremacy culture, like white hoods, burning crosses, Nazi, you know, like Nazi symbols. And what I learned is that that's not at all what this was talking about, which is what really jarred my thing, was, which is this is the idea that there are characteristics about behaviors and mindsets. And the first thing I had to do before I could actually be with it, because it was jarring, we're all white, was realize that white supremacy didn't mean like Nazis and KKK. That if you actually just look at the word white supremacy, it just means white. Supremacy means better or above, is that whites are better, or ways that white thinking is better, or white behavior is better, right? So if we kind of just take that and say, hey, we're not talking about hate groups, we're actually talking about white, the idea that like white culture, white thought, white ideas are better than other groups. Does that make sense? Just on the surface?
Yes, I follow what you're saying. Yep.
Cool. So they break down the list of characteristics that they say show up in like organizations and in culture, and that they're present with people that are like us. Like people that are actually, that you would say are advocates of racism, they're proponents of it. They occur with also people of color and all different groups. It's not like it's only in white people, but they basically promote this way of thinking that was established by white culture. And it's because white was the majority for the most part. That white was the majority, so white thinking, white thought, white ideas became what was like right or better. And so a way that we can look at this is I want to go through and I'm going to just tell you all the ideas. And then if you want, we can like pick one at a time and actually talk about it. I can expand on it based on their definition. And then we can actually talk about how it shows up in our life. And I believe in reading this, it shows up in everyone's life, especially in like American westernized culture. So the first characteristic is perfectionism. I'll give you guys a second to write some things down as I say them. Another characteristic, they're not like in any special order, is sense of urgency. Another one is defensiveness. Quantity over quality. Worship of the written word, paternalism, either or thinking, power hoarding, fear of open conflict, individualism, progress is bigger or more.
Tell me the last two again, please.
Sorry. Yeah. Individualism. Progress is bigger, comma, more. And then the last two are objectivity and right to comfort. And if you want, if there's any that you want, there's like, they give like bullet points to like how to explain them more. And they even provide like anecdotes, like how we can shift. But I really want to look at like, maybe we can pick one or two that actually stand out, that like jumped out to you guys as, oh, wow, like this is a part of like my mindset, my culture, like who I am, and how it impacts us. And I'm also just curious what you got and what I shared and what I put in front of you too.
Is this book like supposedly supposed to be positive? Is it saying it like it's breaking down white supremacy and not being such a bad thing? Or does that make sense?
Or no, it's saying
interpretation or what?
It's saying that these traits are actually damaging. They actually damage all of us. They're not just damaging to people of color. They're actually damaging to white people as well. Like, and they're simply characteristics of a white supremacy culture.
Got it. Yep. Okay.
So what comes up? I mean, let's just start with that. Like, what comes up for you two, right? Like, I shared when I saw this at first, I was a little triggered, and then I was a little jarred, and then I looked in and I got a little more comfortable, and then I went, man, I see a lot of these mindsets in my life, and I've never even, some of them I've thought about, some of them I haven't. Like, what came up for you both?
Perfectionism, sense of urgency, defensiveness, quality, almost all of them, you know, in this today culture we all experience, you know, of perfectionism. We're all trying to be perfect. And then me being in the fitness world and maybe breaking into film of how important it is of how you portray yourself, how you speak, how you carry yourself, your energy, your look. I just talked about having a haircut, and I was like, I was, you missed it, Brie. I think you missed this part. I was telling Alex this morning before we started recording, man, he was complimenting my haircut. He's like, hey, you look like London again. You're looking good. But I was like, dude, I wanted to grow it out, but I can't because there's an in-between stage and I got to film new content and I got to look good. Like, you know, perfectionism, sense of urgency, social media now, everything's boom, your news immediately, boom, sports immediately. Oh, you didn't respond to my text. I know your phone's in your hand. Respond. Defensiveness, like being on social media, putting your heart, your soul out there, people attacking you. What do you mean you're plant-based? You're damaging people. You're going to make them ill because they need protein and fish and meat. Fuck. Fear of open conversations, racism in the world right now. Oh, man, I'm a white dude. I like black people, but I've never really stood up for you. I didn't know I was supposed to. Am I supposed to? Black square, but the wrong hashtag. Fuck, all this stuff is like right now. I'm loving this, Alex. Ooh.
I guess I'll follow. For me, I think defensive and fear of open conflict, especially right now in our world, is what stands out to me. Being on social media, that being my main source of income, I wanted to get really defensive with everything going on in the world. COVID, Black Lives Matter, I find myself feeling really defensive of my family, of my business, of trying to protect what's mine and feeling like certain current events are stealing that from me, or like I'm not allowed to have an opinion or I'm not allowed to say certain things, which obviously, you know, the fear of open conflict. Why is it that people are able to stand up for Black Lives Matter in a certain way, but as a white person, if I have a differing opinion, then I'm wrong? That's really like something that I've been struggling with. So like, as far as reading that list, like that comes to mind right away of like, how do I share with my children we're not racist, but I also have a different viewpoint on certain events that are being brought into play as far as political and all of that kind of stuff. So I am more conservative. I am a Christian woman that's white with three young white girls. So I feel like, I've been trying to seek out what's truth for me, what's not defensiveness, but what's like reality and how I really think versus using that defense mindset, because I don't want to have my opinions hurt people. Obviously, I mean, I think I told Aaron when everything went down with Black Lives Matter and riots and this all started happening, I got so defensive because white people were yelling at me. I was like, since when have you posted about Black Lives Matter, or when have you stood up for people? Then all of a sudden you want to attack bloggers or people with influence because we're not. And so I felt really defensive in that manner. And I still am struggling with having my own opinion because so many people have a differing opinion. So those are what stand out to me as far as what's currently going on. I mean, I struggle with it daily. I told Aaron, like, my mental health is being affected by it because I don't know what's right. I don't know what to share because people want me to share my heart and want me to share who I am. People love me for me. And I do feel like I have a caring heart. But honestly, I felt more racist the last few weeks because of, am I supposed to single out my Black friends and text them and ask them how they're doing? Like, I text all my friends how they're doing when I feel like I need to. But now all of a sudden I'm like putting my Black friends in a category, and it felt really weird to me. I've never done that. Not that I've not seen them as color, but I feel weird. Like, is my Black friend hurting and feeling like as a white person, I'm not checking in on them? So it's been a really weird month for me with everything going on. Just how do I navigate this? Because I do have my own opinions. I don't want to hurt my Black community. I have Black cousins. My dad grew up in Zimbabwe, and I know people are like, it doesn't matter if you have Black friends. And I'm like, great. Well, I have Black family members. We lived in a white minority culture for a really long time. My dad grew up in white minority. So I'm not, you know, I feel like I've had the quote thrown at me, educate yourself, so many times. And I think that the defensiveness on everybody's part is getting in the way of just holding true to who you are in your heart. And I think I've really had to take a step back this week and go, what I believe isn't wrong. I also don't want to hurt people in what I share because I would have to explain a whole history. But then is that, again, white supremacy, this whole list of things.
You actually are hitting on the last one, which is the right to comfort, because you can hear in how you're speaking, like, how uncomfortable you are.
Yeah.
Like, in the having to be right or know what to do or say the right thing or say the wrong thing. And I think, like, that one's a big one for me. And I didn't realize it at first. Here, I want to hit up some of the, like, and we can do it with some of them. You guys both said the fear of open conflict was another one you said. But, like, here, let's, like, the right to comfort. The belief that those with power have the right to emotional and psychological comfort. Another aspect of valuing logic over emotion. Scapegoating those who cause discomfort. Equating individual acts of unfairness against white people with systematic racism, which daily targets people of color. So, like, when I hear this, it's like, you know, the situation we're in is very uncomfortable. And I can only imagine that being Black in America is always uncomfortable. Like, I didn't actually ever have to think about that, which is part of privilege, right? Like, I never had to be uncomfortable in my own skin. And that, oh, wow, now I'm uncomfortable too. And you're uncomfortable, Bree, with, like, the conversations you have to have and not knowing what to do. And we don't all know how to behave and what to say. And, like, I love that you're like, man, I'm just trying to be a good person. And, like, I want to be a good person. And it's hard to be a good person. And I like that idea that, like, we in white culture, we have this belief that it's okay to be, like, we're supposed to be comfortable. We should all, and you see it, I see it, like, think about families when you go to that family's house for dinner and nobody says anything and people just sit there eating quietly because nobody wants to ruffle, like, any feathers. And everybody wants it to be clean and happy. And that's that. And so here, just for fun, to dive deeper, like, this resource provides antidotes, like, ways to look at these things as to heal them, to make environments more inclusive, to grow all of us. So it says, like, the antidote to right to comfort is to understand that discomfort is at the root of all growing and learning, which I think all of us can appreciate and love from what we do with our families, to our kids, to fitness. It says, welcome it as much as you can. Deepen your political analysis of racism and oppression so you have a strong understanding of how your personal experience and feelings fit into a larger picture. And don't take everything personally. Which I think that one is, we all need some of that.
Right there.
I want to read the ones for And here, if you guys want to see this, and if anybody listening is like, wait, I'm curious about this, because I'd seen these lists and it had, I was like triggered by it because I was like, it didn't have the context to explain it. There's a website called Showing Up for racialjustice.org.
Yeah. So I think when we drop this episode, you all can find resources to what we're speaking on and what Alex is bringing up on our Instagram page at Flip the Lens. That way you can follow along.
We'll have all this, the Showing Up for Racial Justice website, it's the .org. I've just been educating myself. Like, I've just been reading because I think like everything's got to start with some education, education, empathy, understand people's sides. So when I got introduced to this, I've just been going through this website. And again, we will post it so people can look at it. For me, sense of urgency, perfectionism, and quality over quantity showed up a lot, especially in business. Like the way I think about my business, my career, the way I show up in like all the things I want to do. And it all is draining. It's all defeating. But with other humans, defensiveness shows up a lot. And you guys both pointed on that. So let's talk about that one for a second. Defensiveness, it describes as the organizational structure is set up and much energy is spent trying to prevent abuse and protect power as it exists, rather than to facilitate the best out of each person or to clarify who has power and how they're expected to use it. It also says, because of the either-or thinking, criticisms of those with power is viewed as threatening and or inappropriate. People respond to new or challenging ideas with defensiveness, makes it difficult to raise new ideas. And a lot of energy in an organization is spent trying to make sure that people's feelings aren't hurt or working around defensiveness. And then defensiveness of people in power creates an oppressive culture. And there's antidotes too, but I'm just curious to look at like how you notice, like I notice where I get defensive. I know that if I feel like I'm a good person and somebody puts something new in my space, the first thing I want to do is justify that I'm a good person as like from ego, instead of actually going, wait a minute, what they're putting in my space doesn't necessarily mean I'm not a good person. It might just be something I'm not familiar with or uncomfortable with.
Yeah, I can relate to that a lot. Like I was talking to my roommate before we did the floors. And, you know, we've obviously got a chance to know each other through the quarantine and passing each other around the crib and, you know, getting along on a lot of things. And one time we were talking about, you know, about to do these floors. Well, before we did the floors, I was like, yeah, dude, like if we're going to do it, I want to do it right. I'm all in or I'm not. OCD. Let's do it right. Just teach me because you know all about this. And we got done and we were talking like kind of celebrating. And I was like, man, I told you I was a man of my word, dude, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, dude, he was saying in a respectful way. He's like, you don't need to like say that. Like, and he wasn't knocking me. It was like a friendly, respectful way of like, you told me the first time and you already proved it. You don't feel like in life you have to. So I can relate to what you're saying, Alex, you know, that kind of, yeah, like I'm a good dude. I'm trying hard. Like you don't, a lot of times I feel like I have to say that, but it's like, keep just letting your actions and believe like who you are as a person. You know, it's just this social media culture, this now culture of being like, well, let me make sure like it's true. I've been through some shit, blah, blah, blah. But to be confident enough in who you are and what you do, that once is enough to say that, you know, and it's a process for me, but it was cool to have him say that to me in a responsible, respectful way and looking out for me and saying, hey, dude, I know you're awesome. You don't have to like say that.
I like the defensiveness aspect of not just being black and white. I mean, it goes way beyond what we're sharing right now or who we're defending. I think that in a culture, being a woman, like I feel like I've had to defend lots of things that maybe nobody even asked me to defend or be defensive of. But being really protective of my business of like, I'm a good mom and having to like show out on social media in certain aspects that maybe I'm not even aware of like, hey, look at me hanging out with my kids. Like it's not all about business and it's not just about sharing outfits or my business. Like here's my kids, here's me with my kids. And I see maybe parts of that just being super unintentional, but where we all come from a place, London, like you said, with the floors, like your roommate was like, yeah, I got it. Like, I can see, like you showed me. And I think a lot of times people see that in me. Like, I don't have to say that I'm a good mom. Like, I don't have to prove that I'm a good mom. I just am one because I'm a person of character. I am taking, you know, self-work into consideration of how I can become a better parent by becoming a better person and well-rounded person and working through my shit from the past. Like, all of those things don't have to be explained. I feel like in current events, I don't have to explain every stance because it might hurt another person because they don't know the whole story, the whole conversation, or why I might feel that way. And I know we've talked about that on a different episode of, you know, if Alex came to my church, he might not understand and might go into it super defensive, or could go into it super defensive. Like, oh, this is X church. Like, they believe this. I don't believe that. I'm not going to enjoy this. I'm not going to soak it in. Or you could go into it with an open mindset of knowing, hey, Bree has a really good heart. She might not see eye to eye with me on every situation or religion, but if she enjoys this and I know she's a good person, maybe I can glean something from it, even if I don't accept the whole church as doctrine and my truth now. So for the defensive aspect, I think for me going into situations, I have to tread lightly, not because I'm afraid of getting messy in the situation, but just because my viewpoint, I'm not trying to push on someone else and I'm not trying to hurt somebody. Just because I know I'm a valuable person with good intention and my heart is right, I did go and explain on my social media why I hadn't really addressed a ton with Black Lives Matter. A little bit, you know, like I shared a little bit because people were asking me, and then that wasn't good enough. So then I felt defensive in me trying to call myself out on why I was doing what I was doing. Well, so
you also touch on a really slippery slope that we have of like, where I'm a good person. Yeah. I don't mean you specifically, like I said it before. Yeah. And a lot of people say that, well, I'm a good person, or my friend's a good person, or whatever.
Yeah.
And the first thing I think of when I hear it, when I hear myself say it, when I hear other people say it, is like, what the hell is a good person? Like, what does that mean? I know for sure there were probably a lot of good people in Nazi Germany, like before the Holocaust, that did not. Yeah. Were they good people? I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know that people know this. I just read about this the other day and it's heartbreaking. In Yemen, they're expecting like 18 million people to starve to death by the end of the year. 18 million people. And the reason that's going on is because there's multiple wars being fought in Yemen right now. Like the Saudis and the Iraqis are fighting, or I don't know if they're on the same side or they're fighting. We're fighting with like, some, you know, the U.S. has military strikes against some, I think it's the Taliban or some group like the Taliban. But basically, these Yemenese people, the Yemeni, I think they're called, are like just stuck in the middle of all this in their own country. And they can't get food, they can't get resources. And I'm like, so when I think about good people, like, are we good people sitting here doing nothing, knowing that like, I just told us that 18 million people are potentially gonna starve to death? And I could say the same. I read an article about how 4,000 girls in Africa since quarantine from coronavirus were impregnated by like members of their family or people like around them, essentially raped. And that's what we know of, that were impregnated because they were stuck in their homes and weren't like in their schools or whatnot. Are we good people? You know, are people in Africa that are doing nothing or trying, or are we sitting here talking about it? Like, it's such a, like, I get what we mean when we say it. And I think that part of it is true. And then part of it is like, man, what is a good person? Or is it just a scapegoat for like, oh, well, we didn't kill anyone. We didn't rape anyone. We didn't hurt anyone. So we say we're good people. London, I know you got something you want to put in here.
I listened to a podcast recently and it was something about comedians and how far you can push it. And then today's day and age of even comedians almost can't say certain things now. Cause you know, with all the political stuff, racial stuff, et cetera, pandemic. And the host, I think it was Joe Rogan, told a joke of a comedian did it back in the day of something about starving kids in a country or Africa and like helping out, like, hey, there's the white guy there. And he's like, help these kids out. Look at this skinny kid that's starving. Isn't this awful? Just donate 10 cents and we'll show you how it's helping them survive and get some clean water. And the joke was kind of, and again, I didn't say this. I'm just telling you what I heard, everybody. Here's my 10 cents, but also why don't you go to where the other people are that have water? Like, do you guys have to stay here in this village? There's water in the world. Do you ever think about teaming up together and finding water? going to other cities, towns to find the water. And it's like, can you get defensive on that? And I was like, shit, I never thought about that. I think it's awful. I can't imagine starving, never been homeless. Even when I lived in a trailer, I had food. I'm very fortunate. Thank you to my mom looking out for me. But I was like, damn, I never thought about the flip side of it, of like, are, you know, the adults in the town, what are they doing to help the kids? I don't know. It's just the other side, flipping the lens. I wasn't thinking about the joke, but I never thought it from, looked at it from that lens of, why are you still in that position when you have other places that are flourishing and opportunities of life and fulfillment and having clothes and running water? I'm not saying anybody's dumb or lazy. It just made me, I never thought about it like that. And could you imagine saying it to somebody that's there, how defensive they would get, and rightfully so, but also like, what are you doing to make your life better? That I don't know. Very slippery slope, but man, that just blew my mind when I heard that, the way that a host explained.
I feel like you brought up maybe a little bit, like I'm like sitting here listening to you and it's like, there are so many times when we could all flip the lens and look at ourselves and be like, well, that's great. I like posted a black square, or that's great that I gave my 10 cents, or like Alex said, like, I'm a good person. I didn't shoot anybody. I'm not doing drugs. I'm not whatever, fill in the blank. But I think when you look at situations, it's so easy as a quote good person to be like, well, I did this last year, or I did this, and we can't all do everything. I can't solve the problem that Alex brought up. Are you chiming?
And Brie, when's enough? So like, yeah, right. We can help the people that are homeless. I want to help alcoholism. I want to help single mothers. I want to help overweight people. I want to help people tell their story. I want to help with racism. Like, when's enough, and how, where do you spread? You know, it's like, we all have these certain missions in life, or, you know, a lot of us choose to have a mission to help along with living our lives and helping our family, fulfilling dreams. But it's like, oh, well, I was helping people in my way, but now I'm a bad guy because I'm not like marching in the streets every weekend for Black Lives Matter. I've never donated to people being thirsty overseas. Does that make me a bad person? Do I need to stand here and, you know, so.
Yeah. How do you know what the line is of like, I feel like, Aaron and I talk about this, and to anybody that's Catholic, this is not like a hate on Christianity or Catholic or religion, but him and I joke all the time. Like, I grew up feeling like Catholic was like, oh, I do my good deeds. I pay my tithe. And if I go to the Easter Sunday service and my kids are, I'm like, they're baptized as a baby. How do they even know that they want to be in this religion? What? But they get to go to heaven because they're christened. Like, it was a whole new aspect to me, but I'm like, so basically they just have like a list of deeds and like God is like, oh good, they went to Palm Sunday, or like they got blessed with holy water. And I'm like, well, like, don't, like, what? it's a foreign concept. And so what is it about, especially like current events, what is it in the world that's making people really angry that not every single person is standing up the way that they're standing up or standing down? I think that, like, for me, I'm like, but I've got a lot of stuff going on, and I don't feel like that's oblivion or not care. I feel like everything I take on in my life, I have to decide. It doesn't mean that I don't care about Black lives. It doesn't mean that I'm oblivious to racism. It just means that I didn't turn my page into a resource for Black Lives Matter. And how do I know? Is that being defensive? Is that avoiding, you know, fear of open conflict? Or is that me simply saying, I'm pregnant, I'm a mom, I have a business, I've got a lot on my plate, and this isn't one of those things? And then looking at, you know, even our very peaceful protests, like, I'm really proud of our city with how things have been handled. There's been no looting, there's been no riot. Like, people are really standing up for, you know, our own. And I chose not to go because COVID is still real. I have young children to worry about, and, you know, what if things did get nasty? I am a mom. lots of things. Go ahead, Alex.
No, you wanted, your husband or future husband, Aaron, said you wanted a punch in the gut. He wanted a punch in the gut. Here it is. That's your privilege.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you being able to say, I'm a mom, COVID's happening. Yeah. I have stuff going on. And I'm saying that not as like an attack, right? Like, you have, that's your privilege, is an attack. But like, if you were, right? If we were like one of these Yemeni people, or you were a Black mom, right? Like, these things, you might not have the ability to make that choice. And I think that's you know, we've has like rolled into this bigger conversation of a lot of topics, but I think that's where, I think that's the thing that I get, like, I think a lot of people don't see is that, like, this idea of privilege isn't a bad thing, right? Like, it's so awesome that you have this beautiful life with this supportive man, and you're able to make the, you're able to say, I'm going to stay inside with my girls because I have that choice. Like, that's wonderful. We actually want that for everyone, right? We want everybody to have that privilege. And I think that's where a lot of people don't see is like those things, me being able to say, and let's take America and race out, me being able to say, oh, that sucks for those Yemeni people. That's privilege, right? Like, I don't, if we were in Yemen, we wouldn't have that choice. You'd either be starving, you'd be fighting, or you'd be maybe to, you know, to London's point, I bet there are people trying to figure out, right, like where to go. And who's to say, you know, if you're in that situation, you might be having to decide between, do I starve and stay with my family, or do I try to cross a border where the other country might shoot me? And I think that's, man, it's, I think I've been doing a lot of gratitude every day around realizing how lucky I am that when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to make these decisions. Like, I don't, that is the blessing or privileges of my life, that I don't have to say, do I have to find water? That I don't have to say, where's my next meal or dollar going to come from? That doesn't have to say, I'm afraid to walk in the streets because somebody might shoot me because of the color of my skin or whatnot, right? I don't even have to, quote unquote, I get to choose whether I'm going to protest or not. Like, we're not even in a, right, we're not even in a civil war where, like, you can't hide in your house. We still have that choice. What do you got, London?
I think a fine line too, and of like, you know, don't be mad at me for being white because I'm not mad at you because you have black, dark, brown skin, yellow skin, or what, you know, whatever it may be. But also to realize, you know, why someone of color would feel that way as well. But like, I didn't choose of how I look with the color of my skin. You can't help it and I can't help it. So why judge somebody based off of something they can't even control, you know? But it's like, I think there's a lot going on of like being mad at somebody as well for being white. And I'm like, I couldn't help that my mom was a white woman from the States and my dad was Greek and I have, you know, tan skin, but, you know, identified as white. And I so-called have the white privilege. I don't know what it's like to get pulled over and feel like I might get killed, you know, and I didn't realize so many of my black friends felt that way, but they never brought it up to me. But I also, they didn't make me feel bad that, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, they didn't tell me and they never seemed uncomfortable when we hung out. So I just didn't think any of it, except for there's something going on with, you know, police brutality towards black people from what
that's a great point, right? Like, cause feeling bad about it doesn't do anything. It doesn't help the situation.
And my Will Smith quote that I always use of, you know, it might not be your fault what has happened, but it's your responsibility to do something about it, you know? So it's not your fault that you're black. And I know you need help from white people as well because the problem's so bad. But like, don't be mad at me because I'm not mad at you, you know? But if you want to talk to me and see how I can help, I'd be more than happy to have a conversation. And I think we need to embrace differences. Like, when is a movie good? Would Rudy be good if he didn't have any drama and he was a guy that wasn't athletic and he didn't fight and get knocked over? No, we love the underdog because he learned and he fought. Like, we all need to embrace that. Like, different recipes from different countries. I've always told people to travel because you get to see a culture and see how people are and how you can bond over something simple as breaking bread. But also to see how lucky you are to live in the States and to see how fucked up the States are too in many ways and how fortunate it is to be in another country and how maybe family oriented they are, or how much more they are of a cohesive unit as a culture, you know? But yeah, it's very complicated times, but to have these honest, open discussions like many people are trying to have, I think that is a huge step in the right direction. And I feel slightly uncomfortable talking about this, but I'm glad we're talking about it and more people should be talking about it. And I don't know if there's a right or wrong way, except for being respectful as you can, taking a deep breath and just being willing to see what that person over the microphone, over the speaker, across from you, eye to eye, over a text, is having to say, and taking a step back and seeing what you can learn from that and doing your best to put yourself in their shoes to see, man, maybe if I was black and I got pulled over and all these things keep happening, maybe I would feel that way too, you know? Damn, that makes a lot of sense. and just be, maybe if you can't, just respect, be respectful of their feelings. Like, can you imagine like seeing your kids go out the door and then always wondering if they're going to come back home because they're black and they're going to be racially profiled? That is a fucking horrible thought. I can't even imagine, you know, and I guess my white privilege, which I apparently have, which I do, which I didn't even realize. Can't imagine what that feels like. I really can't. But just because I haven't, you can't be mad at me for that. You know, can you? Well, like, but I, now that it's so prominent in the culture, I'm listening. I'm talking, right?
Yeah. That's the, and look, that's the uncomfortable, like that, that those things, right? Like it's, I don't think what does it solve, right? Like, does it solve anything? If we take it out of our sphere, does it solve anything for Jewish people to be mad at Germans? No. But it doesn't make sense if German people were like, pretended it didn't happen.
Yep.
Right? That it, and I think that's like a way to look at it is like, it doesn't make sense. I don't want to wake up and feel guilty that I'm white. That doesn't make sense. So who, like, we, I get to your point. But I can wake up and acknowledge, oh, I am white and I have these privileges that are not a bad thing. It's just sucks that other people don't have them too. We should all be living with these privileges. And I think part of that privilege is like, hey, it's not up to somebody to come to us to say, hey, help me. Like, here's a great analogy. And I don't know if I've ever used this here. Jackie Robinson wasn't the first black person to play baseball because he was such a great baseball player. It was because the white owners said, it's okay for a black guy to play baseball now. So no matter how good he was, he still had to have a white person say, I'm going to open the door for you and allow you. And I think that's the responsibility. And that's why I'm learning, because I don't know. So I'm like looking at these resources. Like, I don't want to call black people and say, teach me. That's not their job, right? I'm looking at books and resources like this dismantlingracism.org to say, hey, how can I be, it's not a better quote unquote white person. How can I be a better person? Because it's not okay with me that there's 18 million people that are about to die in another country from no food when we have plenty. When all three of us are like throwing food away because we're full. It's not okay with me that like there's black people that I know personally, but also many more that I will never meet that have to like leave their house in fear or afraid to call 911 because what if even they need help and they're going to get accused of something or shot? Like, that just doesn't work for me. So like, as a person, I'm not doing it because I feel like I'm not good enough or bad or wrong. I'm doing it because I don't like what I see outside. And how can I educate myself to make the world a better place? And like, what can I do without somebody telling me like a parent, hey, you need to do this. I don't know, Bree, if you guys have anything that you want to say to kind of wrap up or leave. And I'm gonna share this with everybody, this resource, so people can take a look and, you know, learn or not learn for themselves.
I think there's something that comes up in this whole episode and this conversation is that all three of us, you know, people may or may not understand this, whether they've listened to episodes before. We've had conversations off the air, and I would say we all have very different viewpoints of, you know, how we live our life, religion, politics. We all have very different views of how we grew up and why we think a certain way, you know, those core values, those core beliefs. And so listening to this episode and having this conversation is a way for us to open that door and open that can of worms, if you may, of maybe you're not right, you know, maybe, and maybe you are, but for every single person to be willing to have that conversation of, it doesn't hurt me in any way to listen to somebody else. It doesn't hurt me to see that there's hurt, whether it's the way they were raised, whether it was their white privilege, whether it was the color of their skin. It doesn't hurt me as a white mom, doesn't hurt me at all to hear somebody out or try to, you know, educate myself, whether I believe in someone posting on Instagram and everything's right about Black Lives Matter or not, or certain kids should get scholarships or certain kids should be allowed to do certain, like, for us to all be willing to have this conversation. Like London said, it's uncomfortable. There are things, whether it's skin color or otherwise. I mean, Alex, you bringing up people dying from starvation, that doesn't sit well. And a lot of people just sit in their comfort and go, we threw around the quote, like, I'm a good person. And so how can we adapt the conversation to, okay, maybe I can't do everything. Alex can't go and solve world hunger tomorrow, but what is a step in the right direction? And I think having this conversation openly and honestly and saying, hey, everybody's coming from a different place. Everyone has a different viewpoint. We're not sitting here judging who went and protests, you know, a certain matter or not, but have that open conversation with yourself, with your family, with your friends, and be willing to see someone else's viewpoint. We've talked about it with abortion. We've talked about it with politics. And I think if you're willing to see a different viewpoint, a door might be open to go, wow, I never thought of it that way. The whole put yourself in someone else's shoes. You don't have to wear their shoes for life. You don't have to be that person of color that thinks a certain way because of how they were raised or the color of their skin. You don't have to be, you know, Alex and Lennon, you don't have to be a mom or a woman to understand that I have struggles as a woman every day, like being catcalled, these things that I have to choose as a woman to not let affect me. So if we can have those conversations, if we can have these open dialogues of Alex isn't right or wrong, London isn't right or wrong, we're just talking so that there's dialogue and more education around stuff that's happening. We need to open our eyes if we're all sheltered and white privilege or otherwise to, well, I'm a good person and here's my life and I can't really change anything. I mean, that was my viewpoint on voting for the longest time. I'm one person. I don't really know who's running. And so what's my vote? I don't want to vote because I don't really like this guy and I don't like that guy. Like, it's my right and my privilege to vote. Even if I don't love, you know, everything about a person, it's my privilege and right to educate myself and pick someone that I think should run the country, right? So there's so many things I think it goes beyond what current events, you know, have going on. And this conversation needs to continue with worldwide events. What can we do in our homes? How we're raising our children? The conversations that we're having. Alex, you mentioned at the beginning of this, the dinner table. Like, let's stop talking about, oh, the kids, oh, the weather. Like, what can actually make a difference in making that change going forward for lots of people and lots of situations?
I think it's important to control what you can control the most, and which is you, your thoughts and your actions and how you communicate and how you portray that, right? Because, and it's not everybody's mission to maybe help everyone with alcoholism. It's not everybody's mission to teach everyone how to be a better mom, but finding out. And if you don't want any of these missions, you can at least be a decent human being and not maybe, for example, if the lady at the store is a black lady and you've always had issues with race, to just smile and say, hi, thank you so much. Have a great day. And just be kind. If you're not ready to go protest, if you're not ready to have conversations, and just be kind to everyone and not look at them just because of their skin color, you know? And it might not be your fault that you were brought up a certain way, you know, and your parents or whoever raised you instilled something in you. But now that all this stuff is so obvious in social media and on the news and TV, and it's being discussed and how people act and stuff, to take a deep dive of what's going on and look at yourself, you know? But in the end, you answer to yourself, you know, you need to be okay with who you are, what you do and how you live your life. And be proud to be able to answer for yourself. But I think it's time to get back to just being a human being, because in the end, we're all the same. We all have a lot of the same issues and we all been through a lot of stuff, and nobody's problems are worse or less. They're just different, right? You know, and I think more than ever, you know, we need to do a better job of coming together, because it's scary, scary time right now.
Thank you both for letting me like surprise you with a topic, and a topic that, you know, brings up a lot. I want to challenge you both to go check out this website, like look around at it. I challenge all the listeners, you know, whether you agree, whether you hate some of us, whether you disagree, like whatever, go to this dismantlingracism.org website. There's actually a workbook that's free. You can go through it. It's like almost, I mean, it's very cool. There's a lot you can learn. And there's a ton of books. I'm reading a book right now called Blind Spot, which isn't necessarily about racism, but it's about bias. It's about how we don't even know that we're biased about all sorts of, like we're biased of insects versus flowers. And it's just simply because of how we were conditioned and brought up. And I think a lot of it's really uncomfortable. And some of today was uncomfortable. So thanks for being in uncomfortableness with me. And I think all of us are, you know, we want this. The whole intention is to have a conversation here, to open things up, to get to listen, to be heard. If there's something you want to share, if you feel like you want to be on the show and talk to us about something that works for you, please reach out to us and share this episode with someone that needs to hear it. Follow Flip the Lens on Instagram. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Guys.
Peace.
Thank you for listening. It's not easy to create these episodes, but we know it's important. We need more real, open, and honest conversations because we know that whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, you're not alone. A life pretending isn't worth living. So please share this podcast with a friend, and thanks for listening.